About you, but I'm looking forward to that, and I won't be preaching this morning. Brother Phil is here, and he's going to be our camp speaker, and he's the pastor at Sunshine Baptist Church in Caloundra, so he's come a fair way to get down here, and that's a blessing. And his wife is with him, and if you're not sure of her name, then she says whatever will do. We had some discussion about that last night, and my wife and I thought it was Jenny. And so we said, "Hello, Jenny," and she sort of looked. "No, it's not Jenny." "Oh, it's not Jenny, no." Well, we thought it was. And she said, "Well, my first name's Jennifer." "All right, so hence Jenny." No. "I go by my second name, Leanne." "Oh, right, Leanne. Sorry, Jenny, Leanne." And so when we were leaving, and we said, "All right, see you, Jenny." And she said, "Look, you can call me whatever." I said, "Okay, see you, whatever." But it's Leanne, okay. But ask Brother Phil to come now, please, and he's going to be preaching for us this morning. And may the Lord bless him.
Morning, everybody. Good to be with you. Heard a lot about you over the last few years, and so it's good to be here. It's the second time I've been to South Australia. First time I went to South Australia was at Popel's Corner, and I took two steps over into South Australia and stepped back into Queensland. So not much to see at Popel's Corner, but South Australia does pretty good down here, doesn't it? Beautiful spot, beautiful spot. Right, I ask you to find two passages of Scripture this morning, if you got your Bibles with you. Proverbs chapter 20 and 2 Samuel chapter 13, if you'd find those two passages of Scripture. It is a privilege to be with you, looking forward to the camp. And looking forward to what the Lord has for us. I need the Lord to help me, and you probably need the Lord to help you. So if we all go before the Lord with a need like that, he's sure to help us. Proverbs chapter 20. I ask you to find verse 17. And then we'll go to 2 Samuel chapter 13, but we'll use Proverbs 20 and verse 17 as a springboard for the thought for this morning. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 17, I'll read it. "Bread of deceit is sweet to a man, but afterwards his mouth shall be filled with gravel." I'd like to draw your attention to two words in the middle of this verse, "but afterwards." It'll be the thought for this morning, "but afterwards." Our verse reads, "Bread of deceit is sweet to a man." That's the first taste. And the first taste often is sweet. But afterwards, his mouth shall be filled with gravel. You know, no matter what aspect of life it is, there's generally always a but afterwards. Whether it be a positive or a negative, there's repercussions, good or bad. You do something, you make a decision, but afterwards. So the thought for this morning is, but afterwards. Let's pray, ask the Lord to help us, and then we'll be moving on to 2 Samuel, keeping those two words in mind, but afterwards. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can bow before you in the name of the Lord Jesus. I thank you for your kindness to us. I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for the salvation that we have in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you for the companionship and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I thank you for the fellowship of the saints this morning, the privilege to be able to gather together with believers, sing hymns of praise and worship you. And Lord, we just come before you now in a time of need. And my God, I ask you'd help us. My Lord, I need you to please help me. Lord, grant me that anointing and that unction that's needed to be able to preach your word with boldness, with authority, but with compassion, with grace, and with discernment. And my Lord, I ask for your enabling help in that this morning. But then, Lord, I pray for those that sit before me. Lord, would you be pleased to anoint their ears that they may hear? Oh, Lord, anoint their hearts that they may receive it. And God, how we pray that you'd help us to make application in our individual lives. God, may you be honored and glorified, and may the precious name of Jesus be magnified this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so our thought this morning is, but afterwards. But afterwards. And if you have your Bibles there and you're in 2 Samuel chapter 13, I'm going to read a slightly lengthy passage of scripture this morning. I ask you to bear with me, but I want to read this passage of scripture and then we'll work our way through it, hopefully fairly swiftly, and make some application towards the end of it. 2 Samuel chapter 13 and verse 1. And it came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister, whose name was Tamar, and Adnon, the son of David, loved her. It was his stepsister. And Adnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin, and Adnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. But Adnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab. No one needs a friend like him. The son of Shimei, David's brother, and Jonadab was a very subtle man. And he said unto him, why art thou, being the king's son, lean from day to day? Wilt thou not tell me? And Amnon said unto him, I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister. And Jonadab said unto him, lay thee down on thy bed and make thyself sick, and when thy father cometh to see thee, say unto him, I pray thee, let my sister Tamar come and give me meat and dress the meat in my sight, that I may see it and eat it at her hand. So Amnon lay down and made himself sick. And when the king was come to see him, Amnon said unto the king, I pray thee, let Tamar my sister come and make me a couple of cakes in my sight, that I may eat at her hand. Then David sent home to Tamar, saying, go now to thy brother Amnon's house and dress him meat. So Tamar went to her brother Amnon's house, and he was laid down, and she took flour and kneaded it and made cakes in his sight, and did bake the cakes, and she took a pan and poured them out before him. But he refused to eat. And Amnon said, have out all men from me. And they went out every man from him. And Amnon said unto Tamar, bring the meat into the chamber, that I may eat of thine hand. And Tamar took the cakes which she had made and brought them into the chamber to Amnon her brother. And when she had brought them unto him to eat, he took hold of her and said unto her, come lie with me, my sister. And she answered him, nay, my brother, do not force me, for no such thing ought to be done in Israel. Do not thou this folly. And I, whither shall I cause my shame to go? And as for thee, thou shalt be as one of the fools in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, speak unto the king, for he will not withhold me from thee. That's an important thing to remember. End of that verse. He will not withhold me from thee. Howbeit, he would not hearken unto her voice, but being stronger than she, forced her to lay with her. Then Amnon hated her exceedingly, so that the hatred wherewith he hated her was greater than the love wherewith he had loved her. And Amnon said unto her, rise, be gone. And she said unto him, there is no cause. This evil in sending me away is greater than the other that thou didst unto me. But he would not hearken unto her. Then he called his servants that ministered unto him and said, put now this woman out from me and bolt the door after her. And she had a garment of diverse colours upon her, for with such robes were the king's daughters that were virgins apparelled. Then his servant brought her out and bolted the door after her, and Tamar put ashes on her head and rent her garment in diverse colours that was on her, and laid her hand on her head and went on crying. And Absalom her brother said unto her, Amnon, thy brother, been with thee. That's an interesting thing that he'd say that. He must have been suspicious there was something going on there. But hold now thy peace, my sister. He is thy brother. Regard not this thing. So Tamar remained desolate in her brother Absalom's house. But when the king heard, when King David heard of all these things, he was very wroth. And Absalom spake unto his brother Amnon, neither good nor bad. For Absalom hated Amnon because he had forced his sister Tamar. Now for the sake of time, jump down with me to verse 28. Now Absalom had commanded his servants, saying, mark ye now when Amnon's heart is merry with wine, and when I say unto you, smite Amnon, then kill him. Fear not. Have not I commanded you? Be courageous and be valiant. And the servants of Absalom did unto Amnon as Absalom had commanded. Then all the king's sons arose, and every man gat him up upon his mule and fled. But afterwards. Folks, there's always a but afterwards. Our verse says in Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 17 that the bread of deceit is sweet. At the first taste, it is sweet. But afterwards, his mouth is full of gravel. You ever eaten something that just leaves a bad aftertaste? When you first put it in, it's not too bad, but then the more you chew on it, and then you swallow it, and then for the next 20 minutes, you're like, I really wish I hadn't done that. You know, there's things in life that will leave you with a bad aftertaste. And they come down to choices and decisions that you make on a daily basis will either leave you with a sweet aftertaste or a bitter aftertaste. And depending on the choices you make, it will determine what the aftertaste is. Now, in Proverbs chapter 4, I'm just going to read you a couple of verses in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 14. It says, enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Proverbs 4 and verse 14, avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep not, except they've done mischief, and their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 13 says, Proverbs 9 and verse 13, a foolish woman is glamorous, she is simple and knoweth nothing. For she sitteth at the door of her house, on a seat in high places of the city, to call passengers who go right on their ways. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither, and as for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, notice it, verse 17, stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he knoweth not, here's the but afterwards, but he knoweth not that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell. What is this bread of deceit that the scriptures talk about? Well, this morning I want us to make application there that it's sin of any kind. And sin of any kind seems like it's going to be sweet. It's going to be attractive. It's going to be pleasurable. And there is pleasure in sin for a season, but it's only for a season. You know, if sin wasn't enjoyable, everyone wouldn't be out sinning. The only reason everyone's into sin is because sin's interesting. There's pleasure in sin for a season. But that season always ends with bitterness. The first taste is often sweet, but afterwards it leaves a bitter taste. And perhaps some of you this morning are sitting here with that bitter taste of sin in your mouth because of decisions you've made in life already. And you're experiencing still this morning that bitter aftertaste. And you know what I'm talking about. You understand that things do leave a bitter aftertaste. There's a but afterwards. I want us to notice this morning Amnon's aftertaste here in 2 Samuel chapter 13. Go there with me. Let's just notice the first two verses, verse 1 and 2. We see the desire in verse 1 and verse 2, Amnon's desire. He says there in verse 1, he says, "It come to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister whose name was Tamar, and Amnon, the son of David, loved her." He didn't. He lusted after her. He certainly did not love her. And that's brought out very plainly in verse 2. Notice this. "And Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin, and Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her." Notice that statement. Amnon thought it hard for him. It was too marvellous. It was too difficult. He was sick because he felt like it was an impossibility for him to have Tamar. But Tamar told him that if you go ask the king, you can have me. But notice at the end of the verse, end of verse 2, Amnon thought it hard for him. Notice the wording. And this is why I love our King James Bible. Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. Amnon wasn't interested in doing anything for her. He was just interested in doing something to her. Now, young ladies, let me say this to you. You better be careful of those young men, if that's what we're going to call them. We might call them dudes, or whatever name you want to give them, that want to come along and they're only interested in what they can do to you and not for you. You want to seek out a young man that loves the Lord and is interested in doing something for you, not to you. There's plenty of young men out there interested in what they can do to you and not for you. But Amnon's desire was to do something to her, not for her, because he didn't love her. He lusted after her, and there's a big difference. There's a big difference. So we see the desire there in verse 1 and verse 2. And folks, we all have desires, don't we? We've got fleshly desires, and we have spiritual desires. And what you and I need to do as Christians is we need to discern the difference between our fleshly desires and our spiritual desires. We are to lust. We should lust after spiritual things. We should covet after some spiritual things. But you oughtn't be coveting and lusting after the appetites of the flesh, which Amnon was. So we see the desire here in verse 1 and 2, but then notice verse 3, we see the destructive cousin. And Jonadab was his cousin. You want to be careful about the friends you keep, young men. You better be careful who you run with. Young ladies, better be careful who you run with. Mum and Dad, you better be careful who you associate with. Amnon had a friend. You better be careful who your friends are. But Jonadab was more than a friend. He was his cousin. You better be careful of family influences. Because not all family influences are good influences. Oh, but they're family. They only mean well. I'm sure they're family. I'm sure they love you. And I'm sure they probably do mean well. But that doesn't mean it's always good. Amnon had a friend, Amnon had a cousin, and his influence was destructive, not good at all. Destructive influence by the cousin. Notice what verse 3 says. Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimei, David's brother, and Jonadab was a very subtle man. Slippery. Oh, just really slick. You know, when you go to Good Guys, or I hope no one here works at Good Guys, or car salesmen, or and they're just pretty slippery fellas, or a saleswoman. I was in a Good Guys here a little while ago, and there was a saleswoman in there, and man, she could sell you anything. She was just so slick. She'd just come at you from this angle and that angle. Hey, just be careful about those people that are really subtle, really slippery, really slick and clever. Jonadab was subtle. You know who else is subtle? The serpent. The devil. He's subtle too, isn't he? Oh, he's pretty slick. He's pretty tricky. Be careful of those friends that are seeking to deceive and take advantage of the situation. Jonadab was a destructive influence on Absalom. Notice verse 4 through verse 10, we see the deceit, the desire in verse 1 and 2, the destructive cousin in verse 3, but verse 4 through verse 10, we see the deceit, the manipulation. And here's Jonadab's subtlety on display. He said unto Jonadab, sent unto Amnon, why art thou being the king's son lean from day to day? He was skinny and sick. He was poorly. He wasn't eating well. He'd lost weight because he was a sook. He wasn't getting what he wanted, and he was pouting and sucking his thumb instead of eating his steak, and so he got lean and skinny. He was pouting because he didn't get what he wanted. And we all have a tendency to do that, don't we? We pout and sook when we don't get our way. Don't be that way. That's pretty sad. Especially a man. There's nothing worse than a man that pouts and sooks when he doesn't get his way. Amnon said unto him, I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister. Jonadab said unto him, I'm going to paraphrase for sake of time. Jonadab says, just pretend to be sick. Go lay in your bed. And when the king gets word that you're not well, just ask for Tamar to come and bring you some food, and then you can take advantage of the situation. That's just flat out deceitful. That's wicked. And that was his friend. Be careful of your friends. Be careful of that manipulation. You know, if you just leave things alone, you'll get into less trouble than when you seek to manipulate circumstances. Amnon got himself into trouble because instead of just leaving it with the Lord and leaving it alone, he decided he was going to manipulate the circumstances and figure it out for himself. Now, if you'd get busy enough serving the Lord and serving your family, you wouldn't have time to pretend to be sick and manipulate the circumstances. And so if you just stay busy worshipping God and stay busy serving the Lord and stay busy loving your family and stay busy serving your family and stay busy witnessing the community, you won't have so much time to get yourself into sin, and you won't have so much spare time to think up ways of manipulating circumstances. You'll be so busy taking care of your family and worshipping God and serving God, you won't have time to get yourself in a mess like this. But it's that idle time. Boy, it's dangerous, isn't it? We need to be staying busy. We need to be staying busy with the things that we ought to be busy with. But just flat out deceit is what it was all the way through. Manipulation. You know, there's, and we all have different things that we detest, depending on our personality, I guess. But something that it just really riles me is when I feel like someone's trying to manipulate me. It makes me mad. You talk about getting the flesh stirred up when I feel someone's trying to manipulate me and play games rather than just being upfront and honest. Manipulation. Don't be a manipulator, just leave it with God. Leave it alone. So we see the deceit in verse 4 through verse 10, but notice verse 11 through verse 14, we see the devouring. And I use the term devouring because it was the taste. Notice verse 11. And when she had brought them unto him to eat, he took hold of her and said unto her, Come lie with me, my sister. And she answered him, Nay, my brother, do not force me, for no such thing ought to be done in Israel. Do not thou this folly. And I, whither shall I cause my shame to go? Don't you understand what it'll do to me? And the effect it'll have on me. And as for thee, what about you? Thou shalt be as one of the fools in Israel. Don't you understand the effect it's going to have on me? But you'll end up being the fool of Israel if you do this. Well, she had some boldness, didn't she? Good on for her. She had a backbone. You young ladies ought to be bold enough to stand up to the dude with the $100 bill and the flash ute that comes along, tries to sweep you off your feet into his ute. And all he's interested in what he can do to you and not for you. You ought to be bold enough. Stand on your convictions and say, hey, buddy, hit the road, Jack, and don't come back. That's what she should have said. That's what a lot of young ladies ought to say. Now, therefore, I pray thee. Notice this. Speak unto the king. Talk to Dad. Go talk to David. If you want me, go do it properly. For he will not withhold me from thee. If you want me, if you love me and you want me, go see the king and go do it properly. Young man, if you love that young lady, do it properly. Do it properly. Don't manipulate it. Do it properly. Go speak to the king. Man up and go see the dad. Man up and go see the preacher. Do it properly. Do it properly. Don't manipulate it. Howbeit, he would not hearken unto her voice, but being stronger than she, forced her and lay with her. What a wicked man. But it was the first taste. No doubt that first taste was sweet. And no doubt that first taste that Eve tasted back in the Garden of Eden. Don't you think that was a sweet taste? I mean, she looked at that fruit and she thought that fruit looked pretty good. Don't you think she enjoyed that first taste? It was probably really juicy, like a really sweet nectarine. Can't get anything better than a sweet nectarine, can you? She probably, I don't know what that fruit was, but she bit into that fruit, maybe a bit of juice run down her chin, and you know that sweet taste of that nectar, it is beautiful. Spring's here, summer's here, just that nice taste. Well, it might have been a nice first taste for Eve, but she certainly did have an aftertaste, didn't she? And you know, that's exactly what sin will do to you. It'll deceive you, and you'll get so focused in on the first taste, and you'll get consumed with the idea of the first taste, and you'll lose focus, you won't even consider, but afterwards. The first taste is sweet. But afterwards. Notice verse 15 through verse 20, we see the despising. Verse 15 through verse 20, then Amnon hated her exceedingly. I thought he loved her. He didn't love her. He lusted after her. He had her and then he hated her. And you know, that's just like what it'll be when you take that bite of that sin. You think that that's what you need and that's what you want and you love it. And it's what you need. It's what's going to make you whole. It's what's going to fill that void in your life. And you go take that bite. And then you hate that thing. Despise that thing. Why? Because of the aftertaste it leaves in your mouth. There's that despising. So that the hatred wherewith he hated her was greater than the love wherewith he had loved her. And Amnon said unto her, Arise, be gone. He wanted her. He took her. He despised her. He sent her away. Doesn't that sound like sin? sin will always leave a bitter aftertaste. Eve partook of that first bite. We didn't have the pleasure of enjoying the taste of that fruit, whatever it was. I don't even know what fruit it was. But we still every day experience the bitter aftertaste of that first bite. Oh, the bitterness of sin affects me every day. Doesn't it you? I mean, it's just a battle, isn't it? It's just a constant battle against sin. Why? It's just the bitter aftertaste of Eve's first taste. That's what it is. I want you to consider this morning really carefully the aftertaste of your decisions, your choices you make. You get to make a choice. We have a free will. We decide our choices. But we do not choose our consequences. God will take care of that. You get to choose whether you do right or wrong. God will take care of the consequences and the circumstances after your choices. There's always a but afterwards. Then notice, lastly, verse 21 through verse 39, but we read verse 28 and 29. Read that with me again. Verse 28 and verse 29. We see the death. Now Absalom had commanded his servants, saying, "Mark ye now when Amnon's heart is merry with wine." Absalom said, "You wait till he's drunk. When he's merry with wine, you kill him. You kill him for what he did to my sister." So Amnon got Tamar. Amnon became the fool of Israel. And then he lost his life. All for one taste. For one moment. 1 5 minutes, 1 15 minutes, 1 half hour, whatever. One taste. He lost everything because he didn't consider the but afterwards. He was just solely focused on the first taste. And you know, that's how hideous your flesh is. And that's how deceptive your flesh is. Our flesh, man, you don't trust your flesh. Don't trust your heart. It'll deceive you. It'll lead you astray. Boy, we need to be constantly crucifying the flesh, don't we? Mortifying the flesh. Put it to death. Put it on the cross every day. Every day. Death. Death has always followed sin. It did with Amnon, and it always will. James chapter 1 and verse 13 says, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed." It's not your mum's fault. It's not your dad's fault. It's not your sister's fault. It's not your husband's fault. It's not your wife's fault. It's not your preacher's fault. It's your fault. Own lusts. Oh boy, we live in a society that wants to pass the buck. Well, it was the way I was raised. Just take the blame. It's your own lust. Your own lust. "Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished." When it's finished. When it's done. When that first taste is over, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. But afterwards. So some application. Parents, can I exhort you to consider the but afterwards? Before you mete out the punishment. Well, you don't believe in disciplined children? Talk to my children. Oh, I believe in disciplining children. I believe using the rod is the right thing. But don't take it too far. You know you can provoke your children to wrath. Don't make it too tight. They're just children. You know, perhaps they're just lost children. And you're just dealing with a sin nature and they don't even have a spiritual nature to govern their flesh nature. Discipline them. But be careful. Consider the but afterwards. On both hands. We got parents now don't want to discipline children. Well, you consider the but afterwards of that, they'll end up in prison. Because they haven't learned to respect or fear authority. There's no consequences for doing the wrong thing. You better discipline your children. But don't go too far. Because there's a but afterwards both ways. Parents, before you encourage your children into this area of play, entertainment, hobby, consider the but afterwards. Consider the influences. Children, before you defy, and I'm mainly speaking to the teenagers, before you defy your authority, you better consider the but afterwards, because it's coming. There will be a but afterwards. We're staying at Dave and Beck's. Dave was cooking last night, a bit of meat on the barbecue, and he told Hudson he needed to go inside. Hudson, the little one? Yeah. And you could tell Hudson's will wasn't lining up with his father's will, if you understand what I'm saying. He wasn't being disrespectful. You could see the brains just ticking. And where the penny obviously dropped was the but afterwards. Right? Or I might be able to run back out there and play with the dog, but afterwards. And he decided he better go inside. But you could see his little mind. But the but afterwards clicked. You teenagers, you better be careful and you better consider the but afterwards before you defy and go your own way. You know why your parents have rules? It's because they love you. And they've put boundaries in place not to punish you, but to protect you. Because they've been hurt and they've done things that they're still tasting the bitter aftertaste of. And they don't want you to experience that bitter aftertaste. But you in your pride and arrogance and young zeal have no clue. And you think you know better. And mum and dad, they're just so, they're overprotective and they're this and they're that. Oh no, they just love you. And that's why God has boundaries for you as a Christian, because he loves you. And he wants to protect you. So children, you consider the but afterwards before you defy. Church member, can I encourage you before you depart the church to consider the but afterwards? How's it going to affect your children? How's it going to affect your family? How's it going to affect all those people you've been witnessing to trying to get to come along to church and now because whatever, you don't like the flowers, you're leaving. Or you don't like the chairs. Or you don't like the carpet. Or you don't like what the preacher said. The preacher's not perfect. Well, those church members down there, they're not perfect. Just be careful before you depart the church. Be careful. Consider the but afterwards. Christian, before you draw back on God and backslide on the Lord, would you consider the but afterwards? There will be one. There always is. And it will be bitter. Maybe you're lost here this morning. Maybe you don't understand a whole lot of what I've been saying this morning. Apart from perhaps you've experienced the bitterness of sin in your life. Can I exhort you this morning to consider the but afterwards before you die? Because you will. Death is on its way. But afterwards, what's coming after death? Well, because of the bitterness of sin, if you reject the Lord Jesus and you never do receive him as your Lord and Saviour, you'll spend eternity in a devil's hell. Because you're a sinner. Because you've come short of the glory of God. But there is a way, and we sung about that this morning. There is a way to escape sin, hell, eternal death, and that is Jesus. He loves you. You know the thing about the love of God and the thing about the fact that Jesus loves you as the sinner that you are. It's impossible for God to love you any more than he already does. He can't love you any more than he already does. He doesn't love anybody on earth any more than he loves you. Oh, surely he loves Pastor Cotton more than me. Nope. He loves Pastor Cotton, but he loves everybody with an infinite love. So he loves you just as much as anybody else. And he made a way for you to be saved, to be born again. And that way is Jesus, through the blood of Christ, the price that was paid for your sin. Can I encourage you this morning to consider the but afterwards? The but afterwards and the bitterness of it. Maybe you're sitting here reeling with that bitter taste in your mouth because of a decision you made yesterday or last week or last month or last year. And you're thinking that there's no hope, there's no deliverance. There is. Thank God for 1 John 1 and verse 9. If we confess our sins. You know what confess means? It means own it. Just put your hand up and say, it's me, it's me. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. Forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a wonderful, wonderful promise. But afterwards, let's close in a word of prayer and I'll hand over to your pastor. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word this morning. Lord, I thank you for those that have been here. And my God, I pray that you'd have mercy upon the lost this morning if there'd be any here that don't know you. Oh Lord, would you be pleased to do for them what you did for me 18 years ago in saving my soul, delivering me from my sin. And then, Lord, how I pray you'd help the children of God this morning. Lord, would you help us to consider the but afterwards? And, Lord, help us to own it where we've messed it up. God, give us grace to make it right with thee and go on with you. My Lord, we ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.